Yevnaya Salibian spent the first 7 years of her life in fear. Fear of being captured, fear of being deported, or even shot dead. She's sitting in her wheelchair at the Ararat nursing home in the San Fernando Valley. Photographs of her family cover the walls. She recalls seeing her Armenian neighbors outside her home in eastern Turkey being marched out into the desert to die.
And I saw the Turkish people, long whips in their hands, and great throng of children and mothers and fathers and grandfathers. They were crying, and the children were crying, "Mama, I am hungry. I want some bread. Mama, I am thirsty. Mama, I cannot walk. I can." These sounds come in my mind. Now, it doesn't go.
At 101 years old, Salibian is one of the last remaining survivors of the Armenian genocide. Nearly 1.5 million Armenians were methodically executed or deported by the Ottoman Turks during and shortly after the First World War. Salibian says she and her family were forced to leave their home in Aintab in 1921. It's a town now called Gaziantep, just north of the Syrian border in Turkey. They joined another family on two horse-drawn carriages and made for the city of Aleppo in what is now Syria. Just before they left, an elderly woman asked to switch seats with Salibian. That, she said, ended up saving her life.
There was an iron rail from left to right. We used to hold it, but it came...
While on the road, the carriage driver lost control and the cart flipped. The elderly woman who took her seat was impaled by the iron rail they were holding.
That woman died instantly. And the driver said, "This old lady died instead of this little girlie."
Salibian fell. A rope ensnared her right leg, suspending her over a deep ravine. Lifting her dress just above the knee, she points to a grapefruit-sized pale scar.
"It hurts here. I was hanged, my head and shoulders down, just from left to right, swinging like this. It was a deep, deep raven. So they pulled me up, and the blood was... blood was coming out from here. I don't want to remember those things. It was very painful."
But she does remember, and she's told her story enough times to her 6 children and 11 grandchildren and their children that it's become an important part of the family history, a familiar tradition.
The Armenian Genocide is as alive in L.A., if not more, than anywhere else in the world. We don't think 100 years ago is 100 years ago.
Alec Mokhibian is the co-director of the new feature film, 1915. It tells the story of a man haunted by his history who tries to recreate the events of the Armenian Genocide on a theater stage in Los Angeles.
It's not just a chapter in a history book, and it's not just a lesson in a classroom. It's something that drives Armenians in Los Angeles crazy, and it's something that connects them to their heritage in a way that's very important.
According to the latest census, at least 200,000 Armenian Americans live in Greater Los Angeles. It's the largest population in the United States. Mokhibian says there's a renewed sense of urgency to tell the stories of genocide survivors before they die.
The Armenian identity is linked completely with the genocide. The genocide took out 80% of the Armenian population. Our ancestors just vanished. So what do you do when you wake up one day? Your family's gone. You've seen them, in most cases, get slaughtered in the most brutal ways. And then the world tells you, no, they never existed. Who are you? You're nobody. What does it mean to be an Armenian? If we forget the genocide, there's no such thing as being Armenian anymore.
Turkish officials acknowledge that many Armenians were killed in the final days of the Ottoman Empire. But they deny there was ever a plan to systematically wipe them out. In contrast, more than 20 nations formally recognize that what happened to the Armenians 100 years ago was genocide. The U.S. government does not, but 43 states, including California, do.
Denial is the final act of genocide.
That's Stephen Smith. He's the executive director of the USC Shoah Foundation, which houses tens of thousands of hours of witness testimony from genocide survivors.
And so therefore, for the Armenian community that feels it still has to legitimize its past because it's being denied, its efforts have to go into that rather than into healing and into participation and full integration into a community in which they live, feeling that they're fully respected.
Back at the nursing home, Talin Bahadarian dries her eyes after listening to her grandmother recount her childhood. The 36-year-old has heard this countless times, but the impact is the same.
She fled so many times to escape persecution, and that story of survival is a huge part of who I am.
Bahadarian says she's proud of her grandmother's ability to forgive, a trait she attributes to her devout Christian faith. But she says the refusal of Turkey, the U.S., and other governments to use the word genocide prevents many Armenians from forgiving entirely.
Many Armenians, many, I would say most, are very angry and upset and very focused on getting the genocide recognized. And I think that that being done will help enable us to heal and move on.
Before sending her granddaughter home, Yevnege Salibian erupts in a prayer. It's a song she remembers her father singing when they'd sit before him in their home in eastern Turkey, a Bible and a crucifix resting on his knees. For KCRW, I'm Benjamin Gottlieb. Vatan, Hisusun evi.